Psalm 78, please. Psalm 78. Many years ago, I came to this psalm with its companion narrative in Psalm 105. Somewhere in that proximity, that time, I happened upon a writing by A.B. Meyer and started me to thinking. Coming out of that is that the 19th and the 20th verse, somebody did a memory marker for me. I'm going to show you that. It says, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful, again, as we are reminded, as we look into the Scriptures here for these few moments this afternoon, that you are a God who has limitless power, capabilities, and we are thankful, Father, for the recording of them, for time and all posterity, and we are able to gain from them today strengthening and encouragement for our own soul's needs. We are grateful that as you have manifested your interest in the lives of people of the ancient times and even in the early church, you do the same today, and we are grateful. Guide our study and our thoughts today in the Scriptures. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Out of that message that brought back, a dear friend made me this. See what that says? Can God? That was the unlearned question that these folks asked. We determined that upon evaluation of the facts of the matter, that it wasn't so much a question that should be asked, but an exclamation that should be made. It is not so much can God, but God can. So we set that in its context today. We journey through the wilderness, a wilderness, no less, a deserted expanse, desolate at times, the wilderness itself, in at least the North American context, no doubt in other places, it is easy for people to get in there and lose their bearings in the wilderness. And yet we find here in this 78th Psalm, some interesting things about the Lord, speaking to a generation who did not set their hope in God. It is that we are reminded this truth in verse 11, they forgot his works, his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt. First of all, he divided the sea. He caused them to pass through. And he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime, he led them by with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. And then it says, he cleaved the rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? In the wilderness. Behold, he smote the rock. The waters gushed out. The streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob and anger came up against Israel because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. I will absolutely affirm in every case that God can furnish a table in the wilderness. Many in our church family are in the wilderness journey, so to speak. And again, I say people can get lost in the wilderness. But I want to remind you of three things about God while in the wilderness. And I want to point out a few scripture references to make demonstration. First of all, in Psalm 105, Psalm 105, it's an amazing place in the scripture. Psalm 105, much a companion commentary. The fifth verse again, remember his marvelous works. Remember what he did in verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. There's a story behind that. But before we get to that reference in the in our lesson today in the wilderness, I'm reminded of something that occurred in the wilderness with regard to the Lord. You will find in Genesis chapter 16, verse 7, a reference to the wilderness. And it serves as a point of reference for those of you who may at any time lose your bearing while there. In Genesis chapter 16 and verse number 7. 16:7. Here's Hagar. And she has been dispatched. It is said in the sixth verse, she fled. And please note the next verse, what it says. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. The Lord found her in the wilderness. We go from there to Genesis 37. We enter with Joseph again. Genesis 37, and have a look at verse 27. Verse 27, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, and our flesh and his brethren were content. Please notice that in this particular place in Joseph's life, you would find him in a pit in the wilderness, put there by his brothers in the wilderness. And as God would have it, there were travelers coming through there who, as human beings would look at it, appeared to be happenstance. But all in the providence of God, Joseph was taken to Egypt, used by God while there to provide a means whereby his family and the posterity of Israel, posterity of Jacob, would be spared from famine. And in Genesis chapter number 50, verse 19 and 20, after Dad had died, his brothers assumed the worst. And they thought that now that that had happened, that their brother was going to take revenge on them. However, his statement in verse 19, Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. So there's a before and after. Beforehand, Joseph in the pit. One can only imagine the depth of emotion that he was feeling. Betrayed, as it were, by the hands of his brother, taken to a strange land, and immediately not finding a hospitable environment. But as we would have it in the providence of God, he was placed in a great position, second in the land under Pharaoh, used in that particular instance to provide a biblical model of economics, of thrift, and saving for that proverbial rainy day, which he did. And so, with all of that said, there are times when you and I may find ourselves in a pit, in the wilderness, and God has a point and a purpose for it. He has a purpose for that. A purpose that Joseph could not have possibly known while he was in the pit. A purpose that he could not have known while he was in jail. A purpose that he could not have known when he was running from Potiphar's wife. Could not have known that. could not have known that until perhaps, maybe, I say perhaps, that he laid his eyes on his brothers for the first time since the pit. And then things began to unfold. God meant it for good, that sojourn into the wilderness. We come again, there arose a Pharaoh in Egypt that knew not Joseph. Things change, as things will in life. In Exodus chapter 14, it was time for Moses to take the people out of the land. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 12, they're on their way, but they are now trapped between a body of water and the armies of Pharaoh. And here's what they say. In essence, can God? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. Sometimes I believe God will put us into the wilderness in transit to deliver us from the captivity of the world. And here they are between the proverbial rock and the hard place. And what was their concern? That they were going to die in this desolate expanse. Their conclusion was, we were better off under the hand of the Egyptians. And lo and behold, what did the psalmist say, and what did happen here in this particular chapter? Nothing but the opening of this Red Sea, and thereby all of these people passing through on dry ground to a place of safety, to the destruction of Pharaoh's army in the wilderness. God is not at a loss to provide security for his people when they enter into the wilderness. He is not. In Exodus chapter 16, it provides for something really wonderful. Exodus 16 and verse number 10. Another saga in the life of the people. Verse 10, it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Of all the places for the people of Israel to see a manifestation of God in the wilderness. And yet I will find more often than not in my memory banks, people who when entered into the wilderness were blessed by God to experience an unusual closeness to God in a way that they could never have done had that wilderness experience not come to pass. Life would have just simply floated by. But in the wilderness, God gets our attention, as he did in this particular case. In this same chapter, verses from verse 33 and on, Moses said to Aaron, take a pot, put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now, whenever I think about that, I am reminded that God in the wilderness fed them. He fed them. That was one of their concerns. They were more inclined to dine on the leeks and the garlics and the onions of Egypt, all the spices of Egypt. And over they pressed and they pushed, and God fed them for 40 years in the wilderness. Now maybe there's an argument about a lack of a flux in the menu, but nobody starved to death in the wilderness. Nobody went without any life-sustaining nourishment and care that they needed in the wilderness. So if you go back to Psalm 105, just for a second, Psalm 105, we read these words in verse 40 and 41. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. The reason being, the sheer numerics of the gathering of the people. This was no small band like Gideon's, who could stoop to sip. This was a formidable multitude of people that required the water. And therefore you have the words gush, ran. You have the waters pouring out sufficient quantity to care for the needs of the people. So those three things in the wilderness, I want to remind you that God can, in the wilderness, God can find you in the wilderness. God can feed you in the wilderness. And God can follow you through the wilderness. I leave you with 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. That ought to pretty much earmark the time slot there. They were all, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, that rock that supplied the waters in gushing fashion, that rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. The living water. Come unto me, all ye that thirst. Drink. Be satisfied. Drink deeply.